Ramsey TV.
Sunglasses outside in the dark in the middle of the morning. Welcome to the new normal. Good morning, this is Martin Zenner. I'm not feeling very well. That's a euphemism for I'm sick. And yet the show must go on. So I want to talk about resurrection. I want to specifically talk about resurrected bodies because some of you are worried that if you're cremated, that you're going to throw God for a loop when it comes time to resurrect your body, because basically he won't be able to find the elements. Even worse, if you scatter your ashes at sea. Juliana, my landlady and dear friend, recently had this issue. Her father died last month and she flew to Peru. Her father's body was cremated and he requested his remains to be scattered in the Pacific Ocean, which of course borders the western coast of Peru, which she did in heels. Yeah, it's very rocky. There's no really decent beaches in Lima, Peru. So at great risk, at great personal risk, she scattered his ashes. But when it comes to the resurrection, what kind of problem is God going to have to try to find all those basic elements, all those atomic parts, and to reassemble them into the same body that existed before touched by the flames of doom? Well, I wouldn't worry about it. This is why. God's not a one-trick pony. There are different, if you will, kinds of dead people that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead. There are those who did not decompose. Before I say this, I got to say that I think one of the reasons God in Israel had people entombed and not buried. It always bothers me when people talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christ wasn't buried. Wouldn't that be awkward if Christ raising from the dead, the first thing you see is his hand coming up from the ground, and then you see him pushing away dirt? I mean, that would be very embarrassing and awkward, very awkward. We don't want to see that. So the Israelites were entombed. This allowed people to come out of the graves easily. And this might be one of the reasons, going back, of why the Jews were... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that word. I might get strike by YouTube. The Israelites were not buried. They were entombed because it makes it really handy for resurrection. It doesn't make it easier for God. God doesn't care. But it does make it handy for public displays. No one wants to see someone coming out of the dirt. Okay? Yeah. Very, very awkward. But back to the happy topic of decomposition. As you know, our Lord's body did not decompose. So he came out of the tomb with the same body he went into the tomb with, to the point that his wounds were still there. Lazarus had begun to decompose, and yet he came out of the tomb with the same body he went in with. Even though it had begun to decompose, the wonderful, quote, magic touch of God took care of that problem. We're talking about a God who, as we saw with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, can touch a leper and completely heal the decaying skin. So decomposition is not a problem. Not a problem for God. There are many of the reposing saints in our Lord's day who, following his resurrection from the dead, came from the tombs. This is only an assumption. I don't know this, but one would think that some of them have possibly been in the tomb for a long time. And so they looked rather skeletal, we might say. But I don't think there were skeletons rattling around Jerusalem at that time. Just don't see it. another assumption. But let's just say that God can bring them out looking the same as when they went in. So now we come to the happy topic of cremation. Could God regather the elements of a human body, put them all together, and bring forth in resurrection a person that looks exactly like that person looked like before death? Of course he can. If this is his method, and I'm not sure it always is. In fact, I don't think it is. I'm going to explain that to you right now, even though I'm sick. I'm sorry. You know, cigarettes are the cure for all sorts of sicknesses. But think of this. Yes, he could assemble all the parts. He knows where they are. If a body is cremated outdoors, let's say, like they do in India on the funeral pyres. Well, the smoke wafts, you might say. Some say wafts, some say wafts. I guess wafts is the correct term, correct pronunciation. The body has basically been reduced to, one might say, original composition. Whether it's returned to the soil or it's burned and sent off, God knows where all the elements are. And he can reassemble them because he's God. Don't try this at home. Nobody's been able to do it, as far as I know. So God could do it. However, and here's the revelation of the day, ladies and gentlemen, God need not do this, because the body is merely the vehicle, the vessel of the person. The question I always need answered, and I have the answer for it, is where is the essential person? Is the essential person in the body? Well, no, the body is simply the shell, simply the outward manifestation. Is the essential person in the soul? No, the soul is not a specific thing on its own. It's the result of the combination of body and spirit. The soul is, let me put it in this analogy, in a computer analogy. In a computer analogy, comparing the human being to a computer, the body of a human being would be the casing of the computer. The shell, the stuff, the thing that all the components go into. The soul, that is what shows up, what you see, what you experience, is the monitor. But the essential person is the hard drive. You take that little hard drive, that, all the information about your life, your past, your memories, everything about you is encoded on the hard drive. God's hard drive. Where is that hard drive? I don't exactly know. It could be that each person has an individual spirit, and that the hard drive might be in the spirit. Because there's an interesting passage where Jesus raises someone from the dead. Can't remember her name. Lovely girl, though. Lovely girl. It's a shame that she died. Terrible. But it said her spirit returned to her. Her spirit. This is very interesting. Does each person have an individual spirit? I mean, spirit is spirit. But could it be that every person has their own spirit that contains the, if you will, the hard drive, which is everything about them? It could be. I don't know for sure. But I do know that God has the hard drive. And that's the essential human. So think of this now in the computer analogy. As long as you have that hard drive, you can put it in any mechanism, in any shell. You can put it in anybody's computer. I can take a hard drive, I can put it in your computer, your computer, your computer, your computer, and the information is still there. It doesn't matter what the shell is. It doesn't matter the style of it. It doesn't matter what brand it is. It doesn't matter the size of it, because all that matters is you have that hard drive information. The monitor, that is the soul, what you see. Obviously, that doesn't matter. The monitor is simply that thing that expresses what is on the hard drive. So I can take a hard drive of a computer, I can put it on any monitor. It doesn't matter. It could be a phone, it can be a computer, it could be a giant screen. It doesn't matter what the monitor is, because it's just showing what's on the hard drive. So God does not need to reconstruct the exact components of the old body. Doesn't need to. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he did it, like with our Lord Jesus Christ and with Lazarus. It's not a requirement, because, again, it's all on the hard drive. So God doesn't need the old components of the old body. He can make a new body and not even mess with the old parts. Boom. A burned body, a cremated body, goes off into the air, or goes, floats away into the Pacific Ocean. And God says, good riddance. We say, good riddance. But he has the hard drive. Guarantee you. No matter what form it takes. Now, there's no consciousness in the hard drive. The hard drive is the information. The consciousness comes when you plug that hard, you take that hard drive and you put it in a vehicle. You put it in a casing. You put it in a machine, which is the body. And then you plug that machine into a monitor, which is the soul. Then it's all there. It's all there. And again, you can destroy that machine and put it in another machine. Doesn't matter. The hard drive will express itself in that machine and through any kind of monitor. So don't worry about the body. Don't worry about your memories or your experiences. It's all recorded, and at death, it is all preserved. It's just waiting to be put in a new casing, in a new shell. It doesn't matter if that shell contains any components of the old shell. And whatever monitor it's hooked up to, that doesn't matter either, because that monitor will, in fact, can't do anything but express what is etched onto the hard drive. Wow, I said that word etched pretty loudly. I don't know why I did that. I guess I like the fact. It sounds pretty solid, pretty sure. I like the fact that God has our lives etched, whether we're living or dead, and that at the time of resurrection, he will take that hard drive, that information that is safely stored. God is the ultimate backup system, folks. It's the ultimate backup system. You're not losing anything. You don't lose anything in death except your shell and your soul. But the hard drive is God's. And he will reunite it someday. Maybe not reunite it. No, he will join it someday with a body that will produce consciousness, because body plus spirit equals consciousness. There's no consciousness apart from the union of body and spirit. And that then will produce the sensations, the feelings, that will become animated in what we call the soul, which in my analogy is the monitor. So, happy day. None of this is a problem for God. In fact, I'd go so far as to say it's going to be easy for God.